Now, the world is in desperate need of American leadership. Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Iran's attack on Israel, and the Chinese government's encroachments on the South Pacific threaten world peace, threaten America's prosperity, and threaten the very future of Western democracy. That's why 2 months ago, the Senate passed a bipartisan national security supplemental with aid for Ukraine, for Israel, for the South Pacific, and for humanitarian assistance. We have called on the House of Representatives repeatedly to move our bill, because the fastest way, the surest way, for Congress to get desperately needed aid to our allies is for House Republicans to put the supplemental on the floor. It would pass. That was true 2 months ago. It's still true today. Yesterday evening, Speaker Johnson laid out a process for House consideration of the supplemental that would break it up into separate parts. I am reserving judgment on what will come out of the House until we see more about the substance of the proposal and the process by which the proposal will proceed. Hopefully, we will get details of the Speaker's proposal later today.
Now, know instead what we're getting is some infighting in the House. Yay! I love infighting in the House. That's my favorite thing, because now we've got everybody. And I like Thomas Massie. I like Thomas Massie a lot. I wish we had like a frillion Thomas Massies. However, the time to play musical speakers is not when you have a one-seat majority, as we've discussed before. Welcome to the show. Dana Loesch with you. We're at the top of our first hour today, and it's Tuesday. We're going to carry you through the day, get you set up with everything that you need to know and all the fun stuff that you don't, but and you didn't think that you did, and now you do. So we're going to get into all of that. And then, of course, coming up, because yesterday was Day of Rage, for National Government Theft Day, we're going to talk to Grover Norquist, because the Biden administration is pushing taxing those unrealized gains. That's the thing they're actually. I'm going to go off on a tangent. I'm going to stop myself now because we'll rage today. We'll rage this whole first segment. We can't do that. All right. We're going to get into all of it. So first up, the game of musical speaker. Now, you heard one of the things that Schumer, and that was Chuck Schumer, who was talking just then. One of the things that he said was that the House has kind of broken up some of the proposals per country. So you have your Ukraine package and your Israel package and then your Taiwan package, etc. And the Senate desperately wants to send more money to Ukraine. And it seems as though at least the House Speaker might be game for this, which is one of the reasons why you have some of, not just Marjorie Taylor Greene now, but also Thomas Massie, who are livid, understandably, with this. But what are you going to do? I mean, this is, you know, you ended up getting something worse. So this Ukraine spending that they're pushing and that Chuck Schumer insists that we need, Kane and I were just talking about this before we came on air. I mean, it's been hundreds of billions of dollars that have been sent over there, and yet we're still told, oh, all they need is like X amount. And then when we get X amount, they're going to be able to, because they're outgunned right now. But if we get X amount, well, what did all the previous hundred, because we've heard the same thing over and over again. Oh, if we just get this much, you know, they're outgunned. If we just get this much, we heard that a year ago. I mean, good grief. We've been hearing it over and over again for I don't know how long at this point. Nothing's changed. It doesn't. They're not able to actually explain to taxpayers. And look, that's the lawmaker's job. I don't get these politicians that get mad at voters for simply asking, "What are we getting for our hard-earned dollars?" We just had National Government Theft Day yesterday. I'm going to enrage you talking to Grover Norquist about some of the stuff that we're spending money on, and then the unrealized gains. People just simply want to understand what the objective of this financial wrangling, what it's supposed to accomplish. And when lawmakers can't make that case to the voter, it's not voters' problem that lawmakers are morons. It's not the voters' responsibility to make the case for what the lawmakers are intending to do with this money. It's the lawmakers' job. That's why you're in this seat. And if you feel like that's too much to ask of you, then maybe get out of it. It's insane. So I understand. I completely understand. The anger and et cetera over this. I question the push forward for this musical speaker game. because you're going to end up with a Speaker Hakeem Jeffries, and then I don't know what we're going to do. But I'm telling you, it's that close in the House at this point. It is that close. Thomas Massey had tweeted about this earlier today. He actually said this in a closed door meeting that they had, because, you know, they've been on this like retreat. House members have been on a retreat. And so the argument that Massey is making is that everything that Speaker Johnson, you know, had promised when he got the votes for Speaker, all of this stuff, all of the things he said he was going to hold the line on and not allow this spending package to come through, the omnibus, etc. I mean, I could have told you that was going to be very difficult for a guy with his limited political capital to do. It was hard enough for Kevin McCarthy. And Kevin McCarthy and Mike Johnson have the same record. They're not. Mike Johnson does not have a super conservative record. He's a nice enough guy, but he doesn't have a super conservative record. And you're not going to get, as I've said before, a super conservative guy as House Speaker, just because it's not reflective of the House. Look, Republicans, y'all got to win more seats. All right. Y'all got to win more seats. If you're going to do this stuff, you guys got to win more seats. I mean, that's just the way it is. And you got to make the case to voters in what should be a time that is the easiest to make the case for voters, because they're living through hell created by policies that they stand against. So Johnson had tweeted, quote, Massey tweeted, quote, I just told Mike Johnson in conference that I'm co-sponsoring the motion to vacate that was introduced by Marjorie Taylor Greene. He should pre-announce his resignation as Boehner did so we can pick a new speaker without a GOP speaker. So he said he's not going to resign. And I mean, really, the reason that we're in this position is because Matt Gaetz was mad that Kevin McCarthy didn't block him from an ethics investigation because he was accused of sleeping with a 17-year-old. That's the truth of it. That's all. I've been hearing that gossip for years now. I've been hearing that gossip since lockdown. Yeah. So that's the history of his and McCarthy's, the animosity. And so because of that, he's had a grudge against McCarthy. I'm not defending McCarthy. I'm just telling you, there are no angels in this scenario. So quit acting like there are. That's just what happened. And so now we get this guy who has less political capital than Kevin McCarthy did. Kevin McCarthy at least had enough seniority and was enough. You know, he was, I guess, that much of a creature that, you know, he could be probably prevailed upon to do some things for more conservative members. Johnson, though, doesn't. He's at the beck and call of everybody because he doesn't have that kind of seniority and he doesn't have that kind of stature in D.C. He does not. That's what I mean when I say he does not have the political capital. We're going to talk more about this and watch it as we move forward. The latest with the Bidens, he's declined an invitation to testify in the impeachment inquiry, obviously. This is the inquiry that Democrats didn't have when they moved to impeach Trump, which is why there were no criminal charges, because they didn't bother doing an investigation. They literally did not investigate. They just said, can you imagine if you're going to trial? Say that you're charged, say that someone accuses you of a crime, and they go ahead and they go through this, you know, formality of a trial without actually investigating to gather evidence to substantiate whether or not you did the thing they were accusing you of doing, right? And then you go and they impeach you and they try to say that you're guilty of it, even though there were no criminal charges attached to the impeachment proceedings. That's what happens when you don't do an investigation, which is exactly what this inquiry is. And so Biden has declined to participate in it, which has shocked no one. He's still also mulling over, per Daily Caller, the language to halt the border crisis. He's been blaming Republicans and he's got to do something about the border because it's killing him in the polls. But yet he has no idea what to do without compromising himself on this key position that he's used to differentiate himself from Republicans. And so here's what's funny. The executive action that he's considering using is the exact same federal code that Trump used for his moratorium pertaining to the U.S.-Mexico border. They called it the Muslim ban. It's the same thing. It's 212F. Axios reported on the, apparently it's considered a nuclear option for Democrats and one Biden. They're actually having to consider now. And it's the same section of federal code that Trump used for what they called that Muslim ban, which was stupid. It wasn't a Muslim ban. It was the dumbest thing ever. There were restrictions from people coming from countries with which we had little to no ability to actually check the records and verify that documents that they brought with them were legitimate. I mean, it's not difficult. I mean, for them, for it to be a Muslim ban, it didn't affect all like the countries with the biggest populations of Muslim individuals. I mean, good grief. So it would have affected things like Syria, Sudan, Yemen, you know, Libya, you know, because we have such great relationships and consulates and embassies in all those countries. You know, Libya, the consulate. Oh, wait, no, we don't. That's what it was. And so this code, anyway, going back to this point, the funny thing is that Biden would literally be using the exact same thing that they used to blast Trump for. Interesting. So but he realizes the optics of it, and he desperately doesn't want to give Republicans a win, because that's what it is for Democrats. They're more concerned about whether or not it looks like they're giving the other side a win than just doing right by the American people. So apparently they refer to it privately as the nuclear option, but it's something that apparently they're considering doing because it's at the point where he's struggling and he's underwater so much in the polls, it's difficult. Here's a story that I sent you. If you subscribe to the newsletter over at Chapter and Verse Substack, the accusations against Bank of America, I'm sure some of you have seen that. The accusations regarding Bank of America that they've been accused of religious and political discrimination by debanking or refusing to serve Republicans, you know, Christian churches, people who voted for Donald Trump, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there have been sort of like some of these accusations before, but now apparently Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach is sending a letter to the CEO of Bank of America demanding some answers. They have this letter co-signed by officials from a dozen Republican-led states, and apparently it offers receipts as to how the bank has actively discriminated against people of faith. And it was revealed that the Bank of America sent the FBI and U.S. Treasury private consumer financial data, because this had to do with all the J6 stuff. Like, even people who maybe just like walked by the Capitol. Remember, we talked about some of this. So that's pretty amazing. We're going to talk about this coming up. Some of the other things we also have on deck include the latest with Iran and Hamas, the Biden administration, the high-speed rail, forgiving student loan debt. We got all that. We got culture. We got a whole bunch of other stuff as well. Oh, and then the guilty verdict in that Hannah Gutierrez case regarding the Rush film shooting with Alec Baldwin. We're going to talk about that as well. We've got a hat tip to Hillsdale, because, you know, a lot of the economic literacy that we at least do see out there is thanks to, I don't know, I think it's Hillsdale. I see a lot of people that I know went to Hillsdale that are on either television or that are working to push the kind of advocacy that we support with regard to lower taxation. Now, the cool thing with Hillsdale is that you don't have to go to Hillsdale in order to take advantage of everything that they have to offer. It's a small Christian classical liberal arts college in Southern Michigan, but they do a lot more than just for their students there. They have been, since their founding in 1844, all about the pursuit of truth and defense of liberty. And they want to make sure that they are reaching millions of people around the country and educating them on the importance of freedom, liberty, the principles of our republic. So they have this free speech digest called Imprimis, right? And they send it out for free. I mean, there's no catch. You can sign up for free. They're not selling your info. They'll send it out. And so, for instance, this latest deep dive in Imprimis, they look at, this is terrifying, actually, the AMA, right? American Medical Association. That's declared that medicine is somehow just imbued with white supremacy. And so they've lowered AMA. They've lowered their standards on medical school entrance tests. These are like the people who can operate on your guts, okay? And the same is happening in law and other fields. The last places that you need this sort of hyper far left politicization. And this is what they're exploring in Imprimis. It's in circulation to more than 6.5 million homes and businesses. You get smart, fact-based, easy to digest constitutional commentary from leading minds. No cost or obligation. Hillsdale produces and mails it out just for free. It's part of its educational mission on behalf of liberty. So sign up for your free subscription today at Dana4FORHillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Some super depressing news today for Cardinals Nation. You know, God's baseball team. Because the passing of the great icon known as Whitey Herzog. The man who the only man that should be allowed to have as many first names as he does. Darrell Norman Elvert Whitey Herzog. He managed, obviously, Cardinals to a World Series championship in 82. And he had, his style was Whitey ball, or what Kane and I were talking about, small ball. You know, loading up the bases, getting everybody on base. Just an absolute icon. He's survived by his wife of 71 years, Mary Lou Herzog, their three kids, and all of his grandkids, his great-grandkids. I mean, just an absolute St. Louis icon, a baseball icon. So our prayers are with the Herzog family. Golly, we were talking too and saying that Whitey Herzog, I can't believe he was 92 years old. He's one of those guys that stopped aging at a certain point. I was like, man's 92? Oh my goodness. So prayers for the Herzog family. Also, the Justice Department is set to file an antitrust suit against Live Nation. So seriously, somebody at the DOJ is mad over Taylor Swift tickets. That's all I could come away with. Some H&R Block customers faced hours of outages on National Government Theft Day. They did. National Government Theft Day. You know, because the government's taking so much revenue in, they had to wait until the last day to file. Those who did, there was tons of outages that began Sunday night. Like 1,700 outages were reported, which is kind of crazy. Also, Californians are buying guns after Border Patrol starts dumping thousands of illegal immigrants on the street, per New York Post. Yeah, well, I can imagine. They said people are going, visiting all the FFLs that are buying all kinds of firearms because they don't feel safe. And it's everyone of all races, all creeds, all ethnicities, all backgrounds that are doing it because they know that the justice system in California, there ain't going to be no justice. Federal criminal investigation's been opened into the Key Bridge crash. The FBI's opened the investigation. They also found another body in the wreckage as well. According to U.S. officials, authorities are reviewing the events that led up to the moment when this dolly crashed into the bridge in the Port of Baltimore. And they've still investigating. They're getting closer, I think, to maybe coming to a conclusion. And because it never was a gun issue, homicides are plummeting in American cities. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, it's our friends over at Field of Greens. Because I know y'all ain't eating your vegetables, so just stop pretending that you are. Like, some of you goody two-shoes out there, I eat all my vegetables. No, whatever, we're not talking to you. Or maybe we are. You can buy it too. Field of Greens, it's great. Use code Dana. But the thing is that a lot of people don't get everything that they need. And quite honestly, some of the quality of produce out there is not totally stellar. And this is where Field of Greens comes in, because this is USDA organic, like the best of the best. It's not a supplement. These are like actual vegetables, like vegetables and fruits. And they're all selected for their medical properties by actual physicians for specific health benefits. And so when you're getting everything that your body needs, particularly the stuff in, you know, vegetables and fruit, like antioxidants, fiber, prebiotics, all of it, you notice a huge difference in the way that your body performs. You're giving your body, a machine, the right fuel that it needs. You feel better. You feel healthier. It helps with your digestion. Your skin reflects the change, hair, nails, everything. And so you can add one scoop to a healthy beverage, whether it's water, just water, fruit juice. You want to turn it into a smoothie. I mean, you can do whatever. And that's how you take it. It's not a supplement. It's actual, like a serving of what your body needs that day. You'll love it. If for any reason you don't, they have a 100% money back guarantee. So Field of Greens wants to give you 15% off of your first order, plus free rush shipping. Just visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code Dana. That's Dana, promo code Dana at fieldofgreens.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
I agree with you that you have to get to these criminals early. If something like this happened in Arkansas on a bridge there, let's just say I think there'd be a lot of very wet criminals that have been tossed overboard, not by law enforcement, but by the people whose road they're blocking. Mm-hmm. If they glued their hands to a car or the pavement, well, probably pretty painful to have their skin ripped off. But I think that's the way we'd handle it in Arkansas. And I would encourage most people anywhere that get stuck behind criminals like this who are trying to block traffic to take matters in their own hands. There's only usually a few of them, and there's a lot of people being inconvenienced. It's time to put an end to this nonsense.
That's Tom Cotton, and he is correct. All signs point to totally correct. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this first hour. You can listen all over the internet. We're also on X, Channel 347, DirecTV. I had a piece last night. Just get out the road. That's what it was called. Get out of the road. Get out of the road already. You realize that these are all different sides of the same status turd, correct? All of these people, they're all different sides of the same statist turd. The climate people, the pro-Hamas people. And who, like, what kind of dumb protest is that? My favorite video, it was like from a year ago. And I saw it making the rounds last night. They were climate people. They were protesting the weather. And it was in France. And French people are really weird about traffic, apparently. I learned this when I was watching the Grand Tour. And it was the French edition. And Clarkson and the boys went to France and they were making fun of French cars and talking about how it's just not French culture to have a nice car. Even if you're, you know, a football player from France, how they always, even the football players from France, millions of dollars. And they don't care if they drive like, you know, crappy cars. But they're very particular about how they drive and they're very particular about their roadways. And you better know what to do when you get to a roundabout because they won't tolerate it. I asked, after this episode aired, I asked a friend of mine who grew up in France, lives here now. And she said, oh my gosh, yes. It's very, very particular about, not as particular about their cars, very particular about their roads and the manners and driving and all of that. So this video that went out, and it's old, it's an old video, but it's still the funniest because these climate people are sitting in the road. And this big dude, he's husky. He gets out of the car and he's and he's yelling at them. And he just grabs them by their collar or whatever he can get a hold of and drags them like one would a dog. Not that I drag dogs, but he would drag them out of the road. And then other people saw this big dude doing it and they're like, I'm also going to do it. And the funniest part of the video was I was watching it. If you let it, because it's minutes long, too long to play. But towards the end of the video, you have the big guy, you have a woman, there's an Asian person, there's a black person, a blonde person, a red. I mean, it's like United Colors of Bennington that are standing in there in the road screaming in French at these people, dragging them off. It was one of the most unifying things I've ever seen in my life. I was like, that just gave me warm fuzzies. I enjoyed this immensely. And I'm looking at, by the way, the San Francisco police, they came out with they posted a tweet or a post, I guess, on X. Can't really call it a tweet anymore. I'm confused. And they said, look, this is what we had to deal with. This is why it took forever to clear the bridge. These people, like, they put their arms in tubes and put the tubes in buckets and then put concrete in the buckets. Yeah. Well, goodbye arm, I guess. Get off the bridge. I don't know. Like, just throw them over. You block the road, you're volunteering as a speed bump. You are volunteering as someone's stunt device if you're blocking the road. But they're like, I could hear the sigh in the tweet that they put out. They're like, just so you guys know, it was on the verge of this. Just so you guys know, this is what we had to go through just to get to the point to clear people off the bridge. And it showed all these photos of like these activists with Quikrete. Yeah. It showed all these videos and photos of them. Just the dumbest thing ever. If you glue yourself to a car, if you glued yourself to my car, we're going on a ride. And it's fast. So your skin may come off. Who does that? These people, you're not engendering any kind of goodwill for your side. You're just making people hate you and everything you stand for more. And it works really well, regardless of the politics of the person that you're doing this to. I mean, I asked a friend of mine, I was like, he's an attorney. And I said, is there any way, like, I'm just thinking out loud, but isn't this like hostage taking? Isn't this like kidnapping? And his answer was, well, you know, under certain respects in some states, you can run it up to a certain point. But if you are able to get up and walk away, it's not considered that involuntary detention or what are they, you know, kidnapping. It's not really considered that. I'm like, well, what if you're on a bridge and, you know, is like, if you can walk away. I was trying six ways to Sunday to find an answer around this, and he was not playing ball. But I mean, it's like in Chicago. I in the post I sent out there, I showed you the people who were literally picking up their luggage. They also blocked something in Oakland. It was they did something in was it Houston or San Antonio? Everywhere, and they see, the thing is these blue cities, they have an incentive for allowing this lawlessness because it's the summer before an election. There's no enthusiasm for their policies, so they have to somehow manufacture enthusiasm. So they'll take rage. Rage is a feeling. They'll take it. Rage is a good substitute for enthusiasm for Democrats. I mean, Biden is performing so poorly in the polls, it's threatening to depress down ballot races. They got to think of something. And it helps, too, that there are little consequences for the left. I mean, these people will get like a wrist slap. Remember Burn, Loot, Murder, all the riots, BLM riots that were, you know, for the how many summers? Remember how they were portrayed? Let me pull this up. So the prosecutors, there was one guy, and actually there were several of these cases, but there's one guy in particular, Monty Lee, 26 years old. He had set fire to a building as a form of protest, and it killed a dude. The fire literally burned a man to death. And so they found the charred remains of 30-year-old Oscar Stewart, who happened to be black also. So he burned a black man in a building. But that doesn't matter to the left, right? That's just the casualty of their, you know, mostly peaceful riot. And this Lee guy was supposed to be looking at a murder charge. But guess what the judge said? Hold this up. The judge in this case had said that when Lee raised his fist in defiance, you know, prosecutors admitted it was misguided, etc. It was what the judge and what these prosecutors had argued. They had said that Lee, quote, appeared to believe that he was, in Dr. King's eloquent words, engaging in the language of the unheard. That's how they excuse these protests. Oh, the violent Burn, Loot, Murder. Oh my gosh, it's just, you know, engaging in the language of the unheard. Even if they set fires that resulted in deaths. Was it in Virginia or Maryland that rioters set fire to an apartment building and there were children inside? Remember that one? And they were blocking first responders from getting there. They almost killed these kids. They had law enforcement give a press conference after, and the guy, the sheriff, legit got choked up during the press conference. So it doesn't matter if they're the climate weenies, if they're the terrorist weenies. It doesn't matter. They're all, again, they're just merely different parts of the same anti-freedom statist tyranny that's been foisted upon us throughout the ages. And what gets me, too, is that if elected officials don't sanction full enforcement of law by police and they don't start following up with actual penalties, deterrence for these people, citizens are going to take this into their own hands, which is, oddly enough, what I think the Civil War fetishizing left thinks that it wants until it hits them in the face. So far, I don't think anybody blocked anything today, but man alive, yesterday they were. So we were talking about SNL on break. I've not watched Saturday Night Live in over a decade. I feel like old Democrats watch it. Old, crusty, desiccated Democrats watch SNL. And then I saw a skit that Ryan Gosling was in. Apparently, was this all the same show, Steve? Was it Ryan Gosling and Chris Stapleton? It was all the same show. Huh. I want to know who their new writers are. Apparently, they got new writers. So there was one skit. We can't show you any of it because they'll demonetize us and claim copyright violation, even though it's fair use. But one finger salute, what of? So there was one skit in particular where it was Ryan Gosling and this other dude. It's a guy. It's like a new guy, like Kenan Thompson. We all know he's been there forever. He's hysterical. He was being interviewed as like this AI expert, and he's surrounded like this town hall style audience. And there are these two dudes that are inadvertently dressed up as Beavis and Butthead, and it's hysterical. And apparently they didn't tell anybody, like the other comedian who was pretending to be the host, the interviewer, they didn't tell her. And when she turns around and sees Ryan Gosling dressed up as Beavis, she loses it. And Kenan Thompson is brilliant in these roles. He was brilliant in this. He's legit like the funniest dude. He's the glue of the show, like Phil Hartman used to be before his wife offed him. And anyway, that was a funny skit. And then there was a skit, this country song that Chris Stapleton was in. And you know how usually like modern country songs with chicks, they talk about like key in your car and, you know, like what's her face, Carrie Underwood, and what drove whatever in his leather seats. Anyway, so they made fun of that, but with the twist. So it was like, okay, here's your your scorned ex-girlfriend talking about all the ways she's going to get you back. But what if she were a psycho? And there was one part where she was, I mean, it didn't even rhyme. She stopped rhyming at any point. She was just singing along, like how she would change the dude's shoes out for a half size larger over the week so he thought he was shrinking. Like, she did all these torture tactics on him. It was hysterical. And then they had, what do they call it, Kane, when they have like another artist come in and they do their thing, and it was her CIA rapper brother who came in. What was a collab? I don't know.
I don't know. Hype man? I don't know.
Yeah. And so then I started thinking. I told you all this to build up for one question. Maybe it's just me. I started thinking based on that skit. Remember reading about communist East Berlin, West and East Germany, right? And how the commies developed the Stasi. And they used to do all kinds of like mind jobs on people, right? Like crazy stuff, like weird stuff like you would see Amelie do in that movie to the people that wronged that dude selling fruit down there in the street. And they'd mess with you and push you to the point of breaking, right? And some say, oh yeah, CIA uses those tactics. Do you ever just have like a minor inconvenience occur to you and then you go, my damn CIA? Do you ever think that? Kane, do you ever think that?
More often than I'd like to admit publicly.
I mean, like if you're, I gave you an example. It's just the first thing that popped my head. You know, like, what if you try to, well, first, what if you try to open your phone and you need to get it? This is why fingerprint guns are stupid. And you need to, like, face recognition, all that stuff. And you're like, phone, recognize me. And it doesn't. And then it's like, put in your passcode, which you don't have time to do. I'm just like, you damn CIA. Or, like, if you're wearing, like, a cardigan or something and you walk past a door and it catches on the doorknob. Just really annoying. People, are you just like, damn CIA? Or when you're trying to tear the pressing seal off the box and it doesn't tear because someone did it wrong and messed up the blade on the side of the box.
I feel that one. Right,
it was there. The CIA that did it. They snuck in your house and messed up the pressing seal box at night. Yeah, I feel that one. Anybody else think this? Yeah. I'm somewhat joking on some of these, but for real, some of it I'm like, you know what? If I wanted to mess with me, I would do this. Anybody else think that? Yeah. Maybe just me?
Every time my computer crashes, I'm like, oh.
Oh, my gosh. At least once a day. Oh, like, if yeah. Google freezes up, we're like, exactly. CIA. Just, right? Steve, do you ever? Steve is too happy. Steve is literally, like, the happiest, go-luckiest person.
To you guys.
No, I think I think you lie and try to be tough. I'm like, I swear I get in a bad mood.
Negativity is contagious. We just have to stay positive out here.
Oh, my gosh. See? Do you hear him?
That's right. I support
that. He's literally a living inspirational poster.
That's right. I support
him. He's that kitten. Hang on. No, do you ever do that, Steve? Are you ever? Because you're in D.C. where they can get you.
I don't know if I blame the CIA, but I blame other people.
What does that mean?
Can we say what you said on break? Can we say what you said on break?
What did I say on break?
You said that you blame kids.
Oh, I blame kids for everything. I hate kids. I can't wait to have kids, but like right now.
What? Did you?
Wow.
He's like, I'm the happiest. I mean, I hate kids. I love them. I can't wait to have them.
Well,
but
have you
know,
seen kids lately? I don't blame them.
Well, the ones that are not minded, like, you know,
right.
Some of them. I mean, you spare the rod, spoil a child. My friend said, like, with the protesters in the bridge, you know, you spare the baton, you spoil the protester. You know, kind of the same thing. So you blame other people.
It's like what Kane says. He says not all old people are. Well, I like to say, like, that's
yeah,
just replace
he says
that
old
with
people aren't innocent.
Right, just replace that with children. For my,
look at you, there both of you, see? Hating on segments of the population. Well, I'm just blaming
extremes.
The CIA.
Yeah, both extremes of the population.
There you go. Well, you know, like I said, it's not going to be government. It's not going to be World War III. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be prepared anyway. Because you know, if it's not World War III, then Joe Biden's going to do something dumb, and we're going to have, you know, we're still printing off money like it's Monopoly money, and inflation's crazy. Nobody can afford anything. It's nuts. Who knows? Maybe there's going to be a natural disaster, a political disaster. All I know is that unless you want to be stuck drinking refiltered urine and eating dirt in the desert, you might as well get ready-wise. right? Wouldn't you rather have your family be eating nutritious meals and never have to worry about where their food comes from if, heaven forbid, things go sideways? ReadyWise is literally making it so easy for you. For instance, they have a one-month supply. It's a two-bucket bundle. For crying out loud, it's in a bucket. It makes it easy for you, okay? It's in a whole bucket. You can carry it. And it includes 36 pouches of premium survival food. Everything is from the U.S., packed in the U.S. You get literally three hots. Only thing missing is the cot. You get breakfast, drinks, everything. 2,000 plus calories, 50 plus grams of protein per day. No refrigeration required. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, just add water. Easy to prepare, 25-year shelf life. And you can save a lot of money on it. Use code DANA20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. So visit ReadyWise, because the time to prepare is now, not after the mushroom clouds in the atmosphere. Visit ReadyWise.com and use code DANA20 to save 20% off any regularly priced item. ReadyWise.com, code DANA20, or be happy eating dirt in the desert.
Someone go tell Kermit it's definitely easy being green. While the left blames corporate America, not only are green companies not paying taxes, they're getting $1.8 trillion of your taxpayer money. Why did we pass the Inflation Reduction Act again?
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Good thing, man, you don't know me. You don't f***ing know me. Hey, Joe, find this guy and let me see him after the show. Guys, I can stop this show right now and just go home. Tell you what I'm going to do. Since you've been so wonderful, I'm going to cut about 10 songs out of the show. Here we go. A little ditty about Jack Diane. Imagine things going on in our land. You know what? Show's over.
Why is he wearing a onesie? Dude's wearing a onesie. Now, Kane was like, it's a garage onesie. Nah, that man don't work on nothing. Y'all know that. Why is he wearing a onesie? Because he thinks it looks cool. I bet he got that at Banana Republic. He bought that fake garage onesie at J. Crew. You know he did. You big pansy. Second hour on the way. That was John Mellencamp. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. Guys, there's still a chance that the economy can get worse. Yay! That's why you should add, as a hedge against inflation, gold and silver with GoldCo. It can be very confusing to navigate the whole, you know, gold IRA, the whole field. It's oversaturated. There's a lot of people in there, but GoldCo is a company that you can trust. And when you look at the instability increasing day by day, you got to diversify. Protect your savings. I've done it with precious metals like gold and silver through GoldCo. Now, they have a free 2024 wealth protection kit. You can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver as a listener of this program. Now, this is only while supplies last. It's a free wealth protection kit that arms you with all the facts you need about how to protect yourself with inflation, you know, potential conflict, exploding national debt. And GoldCo is a 7-time Inc. 5000 winner. They've got thousands, literally thousands of 5-star reviews. And they've helped people like you and me place over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. And they have an education first stance. And they're very thoughtful about all the information, very thoughtful and thorough about everything that they provide. It's a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for buyers. It explains it, how all of it works. No pressure. And this is should be an important part of your overall retirement and savings strategy. Get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get that free gold kit from GoldCo and learn how to get $10,000. What am I talking about? $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. Visit DanaLikesGold.com.
You're opposed to a standalone bill that would just work on Israel, as we've seen proposed. We would oppose a standalone bill. Yes.
Why? Why would you oppose a standalone bill?
Because we really don't believe in aid for our only ally in the air. I mean, it's just the administration's discretion. There's John Kirby.
This guy, I don't know. That's a sketchy answer. Why would you oppose a standalone? That's one of the easiest things you could do. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of the second hour. One of the easiest things you could do. I mean, there you go. Solving problems right there. Solving all kinds of problems right there, right from the get-go. All right. So that's one of the things that they are fighting over. We were talking about that in the House. That, to me, would be the... I mean, I know that they want to try to tie everything to Ukraine funding, but that doesn't make... It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And I kind of feel as though, too, that the Democrats are eager to maybe move away from some of this. I was reading how, let me put this up, this is my rundown, how the Biden administration directed Iran to avoid targeting large population areas because there was the question of what did he know? I think they knew. I think they knew. And like I said, I think it was Iran trying to save face, but at the same time, tired of all these people trying to save face. I mean, you sent missiles, some missiles and rockets and drones over to Israel. So at some point, enough's enough. Speaking of Iran, apparently this is a Washington Examiner. We talked about this yesterday, about how at least like one Tehran asset had a security clearance and worked with the White House. And now three reported members of a covert Iranian government-controlled influence network. They visited the Biden White House numerous times for meetings with senior U.S. officials, according to records, which were obtained by the Washington Examiner. That seems very pertinent information to know. They said that the three were from the Global International Crisis Group think tank. Sorry, International Crisis Group is a think tank. And then a now Pentagon official, the one we talked about the other yesterday that had been outed because emails came out showing that she was linked to this network that worked with the Iranian Foreign Ministry, pushing Tehran talking points within the U.S. government. So apparently the White House visitor logs show that these people were at the White House for 10 times between April 22 and December 23. I mean, apparently those that were representing Iranian interests, they had a ready audience. They had apparently a regular audience with the White House. That seems helpful information to know. Seems like we should, but 10 times in that span, 10 times, that's a lot. That's a lot. KJP, I want to touch on this too, because Juan and Kane have a video of this. This was Karine Jean-Pierre just dovetailing in with Kirby's remarks here about a standalone bill for Israel. Listen to what she says here. She says it's not going to help. What?
House Speaker Mike Johnson has said that he'll move forward with a vote on additional Israel aid. If Congress were to pass additional aid for Israel and only that, will President Biden reject it?
So we've been very clear, my colleagues from here just moments ago, that we will not accept a standalone. A standalone would actually not help Israel and Ukraine. It would actually delay the needs that they the needed aid that they obviously need to fight. You see what's happening in Ukraine. Obviously, the brave people of Ukraine are fighting against a tyrant. We need to make sure that they have the assistance that they need. We saw what happened in Israel just over the weekend, and the leadership that this president has shown. It would actually
She's
not help
struggling
them
here.
If we do a standalone, and we do not support a standalone.
It would actually not help, like maps and stuff, such as. It's exactly what she sounds like. Johnson's been pushing ahead on a Taiwan bill, an Israel bill, a Ukraine bill. It's a $95 billion foreign aid package. He's trying to split it into those three separate bills, one for each country. And then there was a fourth one that they wanted to load up with conservative priorities, which you're not going to do you're not going to do a fourth standalone of just conservative stuff and have any kind of victory with that. It's not going to happen. And this is what they're responding to. They're saying that they're not going to pass any kind of standalone. They are demanding to have some kind of Ukraine funding in it. They have to have Ukraine funding. That's what they're wanting. And again, they don't actually explain to you where our money is going, because it's always, oh, we just need this much to put it over. We just need this much. Well, they've been saying that this whole time. Like, how much more do you need? Please articulate. Now, switching gears to the media, I have been, this has been one of the interesting media stories sometime, the CEO of NPR. First off, let me start with this. It happened with this, let me pull this up, this editorial that was published, Yuri Berliner. He published this over at the Free Press, right? And he was discussing how, yes, there is bias at NPR. I mean, it was literally titled, quote, "I've been at NPR for 25 years. Here's how we lost America's trust." And he says that, you know, he fits the mold for NPR, et cetera. As he says, it's always had a liberal bent. He says we were nerdy, but not knee-jerk activists or scolding. He goes, but it's changed in recent years. And he says that it hasn't always been this particularly bad. And he went through some of their hits, you know, Russiagate, the Mueller stuff, all of this. And, you know, he laid out a very good case of their ideology has actually tanked their credibility. And he talks about how NPR, I don't think that the government should be at all funding any kind of media entity, but he says that NPR lost the public's trust. Well, they suspended him. Their senior editor. They suspended him. Ichmann Ein Berliner. So he's been suspended because he was honest about what was going on over at NPR. And then NPR decided to write a story about how they suspended him. He publicly argued a week ago that the network had lost America's trust by approaching news stories with a rigidly progressive mindset, which was true. He did. So then everyone started looking at the CEO of NPR. And the... And there, and so they wrote this piece kind of as a like halfway defense for her. Her name's Catherine Maher. And I find it fascinating because the same left, and NPR's done this too, that always looks at the tweets and social media activity of everybody else, they decided to act offended because people were looking at Catherine Maher's social media activity. Some of the tweets, guys, that she has posted, and you can imagine it makes perfect sense now, are some of the dumbest things I've ever read in my life. I mean, she constantly tweets about DEI stuff, about race. She had said like this, she tweeted this, quote, "Airline business class demographics are such a pet peeve of mine. In the lounge and on the plane, usually over 80% male, usually white." Well, then, bitch, why don't you buy a ticket? Just buy the ticket. Change it up. You're mad because there, I mean, the argument could be made that that demo, then, if that's what you perceive it to be, are essentially subsidizing the lower cost of your ticket because they're paying a more inflated price for their tickets. If you really wanted to do that. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that she writes about. It must be nice that having that to be your only first world problem. And that's not even a problem. That's just, that's stupid. It's usually male, usually for crying out loud. But she had all kinds. I mean, this, the tweets that she has, that she has put out there is, I mean, and she's the CEO of a taxpayer funded entity. I want to know why my tax dollars that I had forcibly taken from me under penalty of threat by the government, and you would die if you knew how much I paid in tax. Oh, you guys would just die. Why the hell am I paying this Karen's salary? Why am I paying this broad salary? I mean, she's proof that you can go and get a degree and be uneducated. She sounds like a valley girl. She sounds like a bimbo. Her tweets read like a bimbo. The endless thought stream of some vapid, empty-headed, just bimbo. I don't know how else to put it. It's embarrassing as a woman to read her tweets because they're embarrassing. Like, who writes this kind of stuff? She goes, "Who was it that declared a fetus as a genetically human from the point of conception?"
What?
This is the no. I'm literally reading it verbatim. This is the stuff that she.
Well, what's it supposed to be? A bird? The fetus?
A dolphin? Apparently, what the hell? You don't know until it comes out what it's going to be. It's like a pinata, right? You don't know.
Why is it the farther left you go, the more mentally ill you become? I don't understand.
Because there's a relationship there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is it not obvious to everybody by now?
I mean, her tweets are, Twitchy has a roundup of them. And then the New York Times got mad because people were pointing out her insane tweets. I mean, they're actually quite ridiculous. And they're trying to make the story about, oh my gosh, these people are picking on this CEO of NPR. You guys picked on your senior editor. You guys picked on him because he had a thoughtful, well-reasoned, completely not confrontational, fact-based piece highlighting the far-left bias that dominates NPR. And NPR suspended him without pay. But apparently the New York Times doesn't think that's picking on someone. Or all of the other media out there, they don't think that's picking on someone. But if you cite the NPR CEO trying to ask, well, who was it that decided that fetuses, you know, that they were human? Like tweeting stuff like this. I just read you one. And being mad over who sits in business class and getting mad over pronouns and all of this stuff. I mean, I can't pick just like one to share. Like this is the one she said. She goes, quote, I missed it. Who was it that declared a fetus was genetically human from the point of conception? Oh my gosh. Science and God. Yeah, literally like science. And then she goes, white men, we really are pretty much the problem these days. This is the stuff she tweets. And then the New York Times and other media entities are shocked that people are picking up on this stuff. These are things that she tweeted really within the last year. And she willingly posted publicly on a social media platform. You guys don't get to make her the victim when you actually victimized your senior editor. Because he was just simply, he was honest. Ich bin ein Berliner indeed. When you've had bad coffee and then you have good cup of coffee, you really appreciate the good cup of coffee all the more. I like Black Rifle coffee. I drink it every day. Everything else is communist garbage. It's just swill. That's all it is. But Black Rifle coffee, they have just the best roasts. Every bag is roasted right here in the US of A. Unlike other fakers that say they roast their bags in the US of A, but they don't. They roast them in a foreign country, and then they bring them all over to the United States and white label it and lie to you. That's not what Black Rifle Coffee does. They have actual like brick and mortar facilities here in the U.S. and Utah and Tennessee where they roast their coffee 5 days a week. And they veteran-owned, veteran-run, and they hire veteran and active duty. And they serve premium coffee to people who love America. Now, everything, any kind of coffee that you want, whether it's the ground whole bean, which is what I get, K-cups, ready to drink, they have it. My jam for the past 3.5 weeks now has been Tactus Squatch. Sometimes, I don't know, I switch it up, but right now I'm in my rhythm and I have the Tactus Squatch every day, sometimes a couple times a day. But you can find it with the K-cups and whole bean and ground, all of that. You can also find kettles, grinders, mugs, so much more. When you join the Black Rifle Coffee Club, and this is really the way to do it, because you pick what coffee you want, how often you want it delivered, and then it shows up on your front porch with free shipping. So you don't have to pay for shipping. That's so nice. So save money right now at blackriflecoffee.com using code Dana. That'll get you 20% off. Try it for yourself today. Get the best coffee that you can buy, and it's affordable, and you're supporting veteran and first responders. Blackriflecoffee.com. Order today. Get 20% off using code Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So first up, apparently there's proof that going vegan isn't actually better for you. Plant-based meat products are full of salt and fat, grossness, sadness, and hate. It's an actual study, don't you know? And probably full of soy. If you're a man, you're going to get breasts and your balls will go away. I'm being honest about it. I'm not Big Bird. Don't expect me to be like your pastor. This, you know what you're getting into when you listen to me, okay? So, yeah, it's a new study. They say going vegan won't improve your health, and experiment suggests plant-based meat products offer no clear benefit for heart health. None at all whatsoever. You're eating literally like manufactured mush that's colored and like the mash is shaped to look like meat. When you could just eat meat. I don't get it. Like the whole beyond. Yeah, it's beyond the imagination that anyone would eat this garbage. You're right. It is beyond. So they did the survey. It's like pointless. There's a reason why we have canine teeth. Let's see here. Suspects were busted in a pizza dough battery. I feel like you should be whipped for abusing good dough. So this guy was hitting he hit his roommate in the head with a wad of pizza dough, and apparently the roommate was a big sissy because he called the police and said that he was hurt because he had been hit by dough. I can't even make this up. This is over a smoking gun. This guy got arrested on a misdemeanor battery, and he's still apparently locked up on a $1,150 bond. Are you serious? For pizza dough. For pizza dough. Robosexuality is the thing. Everybody's gonna, oh my gosh, I have a story coming up in the third hour for you. So apparently people are, according to a British paper, now people who desperately want attention are saying that they want to be boyfriend and girlfriend with robots. Those are the people we should just put out on the mountain when the aliens come. Like, take these guys first. Take them. Speaking of like robot romance, now AI girlfriends, there's a billion-dollar AI girlfriend industry, which is one of the saddest things that I've ever heard. And also, why didn't I think of it? I'd be rich right now. I could have totally been rich. Grover Norquist is going to make us all depressed coming up. Stay with us. If you haven't switched to Patriot Mobile, if you're one of the people who are like, I'm not going to use Netflix because I don't want to support the Obamas, but you're using any other phone service but Patriot Mobile, you're doing more to support the Obamas than people who watch Netflix do. Like three times more. Over that, actually, because this is the only Christian conservative cell phone service that's out there. I seriously do not know why people don't switch. Hands to sky, I don't get it. I mean, if you are with any other service, you are legit putting money in the pocket of Planned Parenthood. I'm not making this up. You can go to this thing called the internet and you can look it up on Open Secrets, and it shows you the political action committees of all of these other cell phone services out there and what they fund. I really don't want to have a cell phone service that funds abortion on demand funded by taxpayers or gun control, or that cuts me off at the knees, you know, with my own money. This is what you get with Patriot Mobile, though. You don't fund any of that stuff. They're like-minded. But what's even also, I think, maybe even more important is that the service is just good. It's good service and it's more affordable. So if you don't care about the politics, at least save yourself some money in this trash hellscape Biden economy and maybe switch to Patriot Mobile. They have plans to fit every single budget imaginable, and you can get free activation using code Dana. The only time it's not obnoxious to drop a name. And they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. It's easy to switch. Dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the best service without funding the left. So visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy tax day. I did take care of my taxes. I don't have a wife to take care of my taxes.
That's sexist. Ouch. Marie Jean-Pierre saying that she doesn't have a wife to take care of her taxes. Like, that's, you know, what wives do is they just take care of the, you know, the taxes. That's all they, I mean, we hire somebody, lady. I don't know if we hire a firm to take care of our taxes. Thank you. I'm sorry. The government theft. Yep. That's what it is. It's yesterday was National Government Theft Day, a.k.a. the Day of Rage. And so what better way to celebrate our National Day of Rage than bringing on our friend Grover Norquist, who's the president of Americans for Rage Reform, Tax Reform. And he joins us from the pit in D.C. Grover, always good to see you. I am not pleased at all, especially when I was reading what you had to say about what would happen if Democrats get their way. They get everything that they want. They get those unrealized gains tax. They get all of this stuff. And what that means for our economy and what to expect after if they get their way. I was depressed, frankly. Tell us about it. Make us all sad.
This year hurt. But as you point out, yeah, a year from now, look, in the movies and in the cartoon books, the evil, sinister, evil person writes out his plans to take over the world, and then you see them and you can stop them. And Biden has written down his plans for you and your family and any investments you have or property you own or business you might be involved in. And he's made it very clear what he's going to do to you if he gets a House and a Senate and the presidency next year by one vote margin. That's all he needs, okay? He's going to raise taxes on small businesses. He's going to raise taxes on individuals. He's going to raise taxes on energy, another $47 billion on top of everything else. On the capital gains tax, he's going to take it to 44.6%. That is on page 80, footnote 19. And what he says, it's 44.6% plus your state tax. So if you're in California, 60%. You and your spouse, you build a small 60%. Business, you spend decades, two, three, four decades building it. You sell it. That's your retirement. That's the amount of money you're going to live on. No. Federal government's going to take almost half of it. New York and New Jersey and California, they'll take more than half of it. That's his capital gains tax. Oh, by the way, China steals 20%. Biden, 44.6. You want to compete in a world where investors say, let's say, should I build a steel mill in China? They steal 20%. Or in Biden's America, they steal 44.6%. And in California, 60%. How about that? Where does investment go? Where do jobs go if Biden does that? The corporate income tax, same thing. China's at 25. We would go higher than that under Biden, higher than China, higher than European average, higher than France, higher than Britain. Again, where do you invest? Where do jobs get created when Biden is taxing every business in America higher than China does? This is not just bad for the economy. It is bad for your job, your raises, your ability to move forward. And then he's got a couple of things he sort of hints at. I mean, he talks about them all the time, but he didn't put them down in the evil scientist plan for next year. And that is a carbon tax, meaning a tax on breathing and other things, carbon dioxide. An energy tax, real energy tax, tax on all energy that actually produces energy, as Europe does. He also makes it clear, and he said this before, that he wants to put a floor under American taxation so that we can never be taxed less than the people in Europe. And by the way, Brussels and Paris will have a veto on whether we could take our business taxes down so that we could compete. Biden wants us to compete on low wages against China, not low taxes. He wants higher taxes than China, not less regulation. He wants higher regulations than China. We will compete on lower wages with China and lower wages than with Europe. That is not what a successful country or an independent. Britain used to tell us what kind of taxes to have. We started shooting at them and they left, okay? He's inviting Europe back in to tell us what our tax rate should be.
That's a great point. We're talking with Grover Norquist. This is, I mean, the fact that China would actually outpace us, that they beat us in terms of these lower corporate is craziness. And this, I mean, you're just driving jobs overseas at a time when we're trying to be as self-sustaining as possible due to instability elsewhere around the world. I mean, I don't see how this would play with the Rust Belt, particularly. I don't see this playing well with them at all.
Well, the Rust Belt is the Rust Belt because we used to live under corporate taxes under Obama and so on at 35%, much higher than China, much higher than Europe. Under Trump, we took 35 down to 21, which, by the way, only makes us competitive. It doesn't. Trump wanted to go to 15. That would have made us very competitive. 21, it's sort of where Europe is. It's kind of the average around. It's okay, but we should be more competitive on lower taxes so we can have higher wages when we compete.
And we need that. This is not going to go towards paying down any debt. Because government's not, without any reduction in government spending, we always are told, well, we're going to, if we have any kind of tax cut, we're going to risk the budget. Well, the budget, we have more a record government revenue coming in. And now that doesn't make any sense, Grover. It doesn't make any sense. This is not going to go towards paying down any debt. This is just, we're with the government spending, we're in this horrible cycle.
Democrats raise taxes in order to spend the money. They don't raise taxes to pay down debt. Ever. They raise taxes so they can spend it. And then they not only spend it, but then they go, we talked them into a tax increase last year. So let's spend more on the basis that we know we could talk them into a tax increase. So we'll get another tax increase next year. So every time there's been one of these bargains, when they cheated Reagan, when they cheated Bush, when they tried to cheat us under Obama, but we stopped them. Each time, they wanted not real spending cuts, just tax increases and no spending cuts at the end of the day.
And they always act as though it's your patriotic duty to pay taxes. I was reading some of the arguments that Mark Cuban, which I'm sure that you've seen, talking with our friend Grover Norquist, Americans for Tax Reform. He was trying to, I guess, impress everyone with how much in tax he paid. You know, like I think it was, I don't even remember what the total was. A ridiculous amount of money.
$270 million.
Yeah, yeah. A ridiculous amount of money. I thought I paid a lot in tax this year. I mean, I had a stroke writing the check to, you know, the Treasury. I just about died. But with Mark Cuban, it's insane. And he's paying still, though, his bare minimum. And it's not paying down, as people were pointing out. This is not paying down anything. This is a mandatory payment at risk of penalty, at risk of imprisonment. This is not doing anything for the country. It's not going for any kind of service that you think is going to be helpful for people. They act like they're helping the downtrodden. That's not what government's for, and that's not what this is doing. And that's the big thing, Grover. The math, you could seize the wealth of every single type of Mark Cuban in the United States. And it's not going to do one thing. But from what I see, there's nothing in Democrats' proposal that talks about a reduction in any of the spending.
There isn't, because they're not interested in that. And that remains the problem. If you would like to see revenue come up, here's one way. If you grow at 3% a year for a decade instead of 2% a year, just go from 2% a year growth to 3%. We used to do 4% regularly in the United States. If you grow not at 2, but at 3% a year for one decade, that brings in $3.7 trillion more than at a lower rate of growth. The best way to bring in revenue is to have more growth. Deregulation, get those permits out now. Make things move quicker when the government, so you don't stop pipelines and other things, and take key tax rates down, like the corporate income tax, as well as the capital gains tax, that really get in the way of growth. We can grow our way around away from the debt. We had 120% of GDP in debt at the end of World War II. We didn't run big surpluses. We grew faster than the debt, and it went down to about 20 or 30%. We need to grow away from the debt, not try and feed it.
Democrats used to have that position. I mean, I remember in history learning about Kennedy talking on economic policy, and he sounds like a Republican would sound today.
John F. Kennedy's tax cut was taken from the Coolidge model of taking marginal tax rates down across the board, giving us strong growth, the roaring 20s, the 60s. And then Reagan's 80s. Gee whiz, every time we have marginal tax rate reductions, the whole decade looks good.
I love it.
And then when Hoover gets in and raises taxes, not so good. When Nixon gets in and raises taxes, not so good. And when Carter gets in and raises taxes, not so good. So we've kind of seen this play out in history, in our lifetimes, again and again and again. Lower rates to have growth, less regulation to have growth. Growth makes us grow faster than the deficit, and the same size deficit gets smaller and smaller in the rear view mirror. Growth is what we need to be doing, and raising taxes kills growth.
It does, absolutely. Talking with our friend Grover Norquist, last thing, you know, we tax day is one day, and we also, though, we have to suffer the indignity of endless taxes every single other day as well, with no relief in that. And I there was a very interesting thing from John Stossel. How about the income tax is less than half of what most of us pay the government. And it's really taxation every other day aside from income tax that's also really just killing the American consumer and our savings.
Property taxes, sales taxes, excise taxes.
Death taxes.
Death taxes. If you're stupid enough to die, they can take up to half. Our friend, I did leave out on the parade of horribles, Biden has another one that he's put out there. He wants a second death tax on top of the one we already have. And that is getting rid of the step up in basis. Because right now, when he inflates the value of what you pass on to your children, you can step that up so that you don't pay taxes on all that inflation. He wants to make sure you pay taxes on all the inflation during your lifetime as if that was a value, and take that away from your children. So the tax on Biden's inflation, in order to make your children have less that you can pass on to them, is an important part of his new plan to have more taxes.
This is why everybody, this is all the stuff that's at stake in November. I mean, oh my goodness. It's just, I now have anxiety. This is great. Well, it's always great talking to you, Grover. We appreciate you joining us with this, you know, kittens and sunshine. At some point when we have a good administration and we have some good, you know, economically literate people in the House, you're going to join me and we're going to have a celebration because taxes are going to be lowered across the board. Maybe the IRS will be abolished. I don't know. I mean, maybe it could happen in my lifetime and we'll celebrate.
Brief, cheerful news. About 25 states are moving in the right direction and 10 are phasing their income taxes down to zero. So in red states, you actually have cheerful news.
Florida, Blue Texas, states. Tennessee. Okay. Yeah, never. It never happened in California or Illinois or New York.
Iowa,
never.
Watch Iowa, North Carolina. Arkansas, Arizona, lots of states, North Dakota bringing it down to zero. We're making real progress. Next year, New Hampshire, complete zero next year.
Wow, New Hampshire. That's one I did not have on my bingo card. That's very good news indeed. Grover Norquist with Americans for Tax Reform. You can find the website at, it's ATR, AmericansForTaxReform.org. Grover, always good to see you. Appreciate you, especially this time of the year.
Absolutely.
Take care.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So first up, this is not a way to do steak and lobster. Well, bug meat, you know, but steak. You don't do steak like this. A Florida man was arrested after a food fight at a steak and lobster house. Apparently, an 18-year-old Florida man of Delray Beach, Tampa Free Press, reports that the individual, Monroe County Sheriff's Office, got involved. He was at the Florida Keys Steak and Lobster House on Saturday, and apparently the entire group got in trouble. They were throwing bread and butter, newly painted walls and ceilings, causing $500 in damages, and they had to book him in jail on a misdemeanor. Who does that? Like, what kind of trash person are you to do this? Good heavens. That's inexcusable. You don't do that to steak or good butter and bread. What's the matter with you? A Florida man was driving 108 miles per hour on I-95 because, as he told police in Brevard County, Florida, he was in a hurry to see his lady. A 27-year-old Florida man was arrested. Axel Sobrevia of North Lauderdale. He was arrested on charges of reckless driving. A caller said a red Toyota Camry was weaving through traffic and driving in the emergency lane. They found him. They pulled him over. And he said he had to get to his girlfriend in North Carolina. He was in a hurry to see her. And that wasn't a good excuse for the cops. So they took him into custody. And he, instead of going to North Carolina to see his lady, he went to Brevard County Jail, where I'm sure someone would have been eager to make a girlfriend of him. Does that mean? Just saying. No, he probably was in there. They didn't say if he bonded out or anything. Let's see here. This Florida man broke into a home because he thought his dog was barking inside. Port Orange, Florida. The man was taken to jail on multiple charges. He broke into a Florida home. What he said, it was his dog barking in there. Janu Marrena, 32, was arrested by Port Orange police on charges of burglary of an occupied dwelling, providing a false name, and he had apparently an open warrant for reckless driving, too. So, like, 4 in the morning, homeowners called police, and they said, there's a guy who's trying to steal our dog. I would have gone John Wick on him. He would not have been photographed sitting in jail. He'd have been in a bag. The homeowners told police that the man claimed that he walked from South Daytona looking for his stolen black pit bull. And then he heard the homeowner's yellow lab barking inside the house. And so he went through their backyard and then broke in. The yellow lab's name is Benny. And he was suspect was yelling at the homeowners, "Why would you take my dog? Why would you do that?" And then there was a black lab and a yellow lab. And then the homeowner said he took the yellow one. He took the wrong one. And I told him this was my dog. And so anyway, he was arrested. The dogs are okay. I still would have John Wicked him. Not going to lie. We have more in store. Third hour on the way. Don't go anywhere. To ask that these people keep a beat? Is it just too much to ask?
Apparently it is.
I mean, at least the hippies back in the olden days, you know, like the bad hippies, the bad boomers, at least they could keep a beat. You know what I mean? Like, at least, I don't know, maybe they were chill enough that they could keep a beat. These people, what was that? I don't even, why go into a Starbucks? Those were pro-Hamas clowns that decided that they were going to protest in a Starbucks because for some reason, I don't know, it blows my mind, I don't know. They just decided that Starbucks is the place where they're going to go and disrupt. I don't know. What's the point of it? What is the point of it? Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour. Always good to be with you. And we are, it's Tuesday. We've been going over, I know our friend Grover Norquist was making us all to sads about all the bad stuff that we have to look forward to if we get more Democrats. I mean, the taxes alone, by the way, should be enough. You know, to say nothing of World War III. To say nothing of that. No, can I just, why were they in the Starbucks, though? The pro-Hamas people. Why were they in there? Do you know, Kane, was there something specific about, was that Starbucks Jewish adjacent or something? I know that they get real weird about that, the terrorists.
I mean, this has been going on for years, but once I realized that you can't make sense of mental illness, I stopped asking the questions.
Well, that explains their inability to keep a beat. You know, I mean, I don't even know what that was. It was like if Christopher Walken was a drum sound, it would be that. At least he sounds like Jazz Theory, you know, his style of speaking. Yeah, I don't know why they were, of all the places, targeting it. And this was in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And they were talking about freeing Palestine. What do you mean freeing Palestine? From the, from what? From the constraints of never having existed ever in history before? Right. That? I don't get it. So yeah, they went into a Starbucks. They were also shutting down some. Aren't they? These are a different bunch of statist turds that are protesting in New York right now. Aren't there a bunch of like illegal immigrants that are mad and staging a march going to City Hall because they're mad that they're being moved from their luxury hotels to shelters? Do you guys hear? It's been happening now. I'm going to pull this up. It's been happening. Where's this photo that I had of it?
Video.
Yeah, they were mad because they're having to be moved from these, and these are like the really bougie hotels that apparently they've been staying in Manhattan. Yeah, they're flooding New York City Hall to protest being moved to shelters instead of being at the super fancy luxury hotels. How nice. And there are people in the streets for this. You know what somebody could go to ICE, have them tell them, put a sign up in front of Customs and Border Patrol. Be like, no, here's City Hall. It's right here. Or better yet, be like, you know what? City Hall's really far away. And just have like a bunch of signs leading them back to the other side of the southern border. Look,
get on this plane. We'll fly you there.
Yeah, yeah. It's the City Hall's on this plane. Yeah, it is. Get on the plane. It's right on the plane, City Hall. It's weird. It's how we do it in New York because there's not a lot of space for stuff. If I were to go to Mexico and protest in Mexico, they would arrest. Don't you get arrested? Like you're not allowed to. Certain countries you're not allowed to protest in and take part in their stuff. You're not allowed to do all that. I would imagine you would get in some trouble. But you're not owed anything like that in the United States. This isn't a welfare office as much as the Democrats want to treat it like that. You're not owed this. Is it everybody's just going to be protesting this summer? Is this going to be the summer again of protests? Again?
Yeah.
I'm so tired of it. I don't even care. I'm almost to the point where if I see a protest, I don't even care anymore. I am Jeremy Piven from PCU, which I think there's a reason why you can't find that movie anywhere. That damn CIA. See, I told you, Kane. Anytime we were joking previously in the show, anytime I feel like I am minorly inconvenienced, I blame the CIA. Like, I just do. You know, random things. Like the one biggest thing, you know, what is it? What is that type of port? It's for like the USB thing. and you stick it into the thing. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, this is, I aggravate my husband to death when I talk about technical stuff.
Tiny bit more specific.
It's that thing on the cord. The thing, Kane. The rectangular thing with the metal bits.
The USB?
Yes.
But the USB-C? Or which
I don't know. Whichever one is the long little metal thingy.
Oh.
That one.
That one?
Yeah. Okay. The one that never goes in right. Ever.
Okay.
You turn it. And it won't go in right.
Wait,
and
then are we talking the lightning cable or what are we talking about?
I don't
about?
Know what it is.
The charger for the iPhone?
I don't know. It's no, it goes into the thing. Oh. I don't know. Do you know what I'm talking about? That, shut up out there, all of you making fun of me.
That would be a no. A no, I don't know
oh,
what you're
gosh,
talking
do
about.
Do I have any? It's like this, but bigger.
Okay, that's USB.
This is little bitty. This it's not this, but it's like
okay,
that.
Okay, so the USB part. Yeah.
It's this thing here. And it's like bigger. Like the metal thing is like this whole
so
size.
You're holding
be.
Up USB-C.
I don't know what it is.
To lightning cable.
I right, literally don't even know. It's and a cord. This is the difference between men and women. I can sit here and tell you all the shades of beige, but then I'm looking, I'm like, it's a cord. It's a tree. It's a cord. It's this thing. You guys know what I'm talking about who
okay,
are watching
so the just
simulcast.
The US, just regular, the old school USB.
Yes, thank you. And it plugs into the thing, right?
Into the dongle or whatever.
The dongle plugs into the
wall.
Whatever.
Sure.
Okay.
And then?
But it's the part where you got to plug this part in that never goes in properly.
Yes. It's always upside down when you first
Why
try
is this
it.
A big thing?
I know.
No, it's upside down no matter how many times you flip it over.
But that's not how it's supposed to work.
But it is. And I'm like, that damn CIA. Because every time you're like, it won't go in. You're like, oh, maybe I need to turn it around. Oh, nope, still, joke's on you, dummy. It's not going to go in still. Then you're like, well, I'll be dang. Let me turn it around again. Nope. And then when you turn it around the other way again, you guys know this, then it's like, okay, I'll let it go. It's messing with you the whole time. Other people talk about chemtrails. I talk about this. It's a difference. And then I'm like, that damn CIA.
It's always the damn CIA. I'm when I roll up on a light that's green, and then all of a sudden it just turns yellow,
it
then red.
It blinks yellow for a half second. It's
yeah,
like, oh,
and
no,
then it goes red.
Coming. Yeah, it's
then
a
I'm
CIA.
Like, yeah, totally CIA.
That's because someone's being paid to watch you and be like, ha ha ha, I'm going to inconvenience him, make him question his existence. Damn it, that yellow lasted for a half second. I'm telling you, no one else thinks this. Just me. I want to hear a thing from you people. I don't talk about the chemtrails. I don't talk about that stuff. I talk about this, though. I'm telling you. This thing, though, the whatever
chemtrails
that is.
Chemtrails are real.
They're called contrails, but okay.
No, the chemtrails are real.
Well, I don't know what kind of planes you're seeing, but.
You mean the ones in the sky?
Kane believes.
Those are the ones I'm seeing.
That you're one of those people, aren't you? You believe that. I'm not making fun of you. I'm not saying, I just got to see
evidence.
I mean,
no, you do. You make fun of me all the time, actually.
Yes, but.
It's actually kind of fun just to see you get riled up over some of the things.
I'm just saying. It's
because, again, conspiracy theories are literally just spoiler alerts.
Now, here's how you could get me. You could be like, Dana, it's that damn CIA.
It
then
is.
I'd be like, wait a minute. Maybe it's not contrails. Maybe it is chemtrails. Maybe. Maybe it's about trying to alter human behavior. If we spray this stuff in the sky, maybe they'll stop eating meat. And they'll just eat bugs.
You didn't realize how close you are to the truth.
Like, you know. Like, you have, like, a secret cabal meeting tonight. Like,
I don't
you
know,
guys are
but
go
I'm...
talk about the truth.
But sure is sus, bruh.
Oh, my gosh. Kane, this all started because Kane sent me a video of the Dubai airport and how it's all flooded. And people are like, no, it's chemtrails. Isn't that what you said?
Yeah, it was cloud seeding. They seeded the clouds. And now this has been done for, even thousands of years if you go back far enough. But they will seed the clouds in order to get it to rain. Well, apparently they do this on a regular basis in Dubai. And they just overdid it.
They did it too much?
They overdid it, apparently.
I don't know if I believe this.
That's what they're saying.
I mean, I don't really care. If it's in my control, I care. If it's not in my control, I just don't.
But there are regular reports out there of Dubai doing this on a regular basis, like monthly.
It is the desert.
So,
out
yeah,
there.
There it is.
Does it matter? Like, it is the desert. I don't know. This is like, I don't know. It's all weird. But anyway, long story. I don't even know what we were talking about. What were we talking about?
I don't know. Once I don't you even got know. Me on chemtrails, it was over.
Yeah, well, oh, the people in the Starbucks with their...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm just saying. You know, that wouldn't work in no Black Rifle Coffee. I'm just saying. You wouldn't be having that up in no Black Rifle Coffee. Can we talk really quickly about... I just want to play these two the audio sound bites. Otherwise, I'm going to be mad at myself if I don't. I just really quickly, the Republican fight. I don't think that... I'm just going to tell you, and this is the last I'm going to talk about it. I don't think that Mike Johnson's going anywhere as speaker, because there's literally not enough... voters, I think, would rip everybody's hair out. They're done. We're all done with it. We're all over the drama, right? The weather's starting to get warm outside. We want to get to enjoying as much of life as we can before Democrats ruin everything if we don't win in November. I'm just saying. This is I don't want to have to worry about who's in charge. Do I think that Mike Johnson has the political capital? Hell no, I don't. Do I think that he's effective? No. Who else are you going to have? Republicans got to win seats in the House. You got what you got. They had a plus one majority, guys. Plus one. And you know you got some rhinos in there. So you got to win some seats. This is why down ballot races really, really have to matter. So this is, first off, this is 16. This is Thomas Massey. This is what he said. And then I got Johnson's response to that. Listen.
There's only one person right now who can stop us from going into what happened last fall, and that's Mike Johnson. He's cleaning the barn. That's obvious.
So you want him to resign? You want him to resign?
Yes. Yeah, I asked him to resign.
What did he say?
He said he would not. And then I said, well, you're the one who's going to put us into this. Because the motion is going to get called, okay? Does anybody doubt that? The motion will get called. And then he's going to lose more votes than Kevin McCarthy. And I have told him this in private, like weeks ago.
I love his accent, by the way. It reminds me of home. I told him this. I told him. I'm like, yeah, you did. I told him too. Anyway, I love it. This is Johnson's remark, though. This is what he says. Audio soundbite 14. Go ahead and play this one for me.
Mr. Speaker, what is your response to Republicans who say this move should cost you your job, and that if you don't resign, they will try to oust you?
I am not resigning, and it is, in my view, an absurd notion that someone would bring a vacate motion when we are simply here trying to do our jobs. It is not helpful to the cause. It is not helpful to the country. It does not help the House Republicans advance our agenda, which is in the best interest of the American people here, a secure border, sound governance, and it's not helpful to the unity that we have in the body. Look, we have a very important mission here. Our mission is very clear. The reason most of us, I can speak for the House Republicans, the reason every House Republican ran for Congress is that because they wanted to come here and help to save this beleaguered republic of ours. We want to save the...
So he's not going anywhere. Can I just say, make an observation apropos of absolutely nothing? He's always like well ironed and put together. I think his wife keeps him nicely appointed, right? Like his hair's not out of place. He doesn't look like some people, you know, dragging themselves into the Capitol. He always looks like his stuff has been laundered. It's pressed. It's not too big. You know, like Jerry Nadler. Or what's his face? There's a couple dudes up there that either wear jackets too big for them or too small for them. He always, I'm just going to say, he just looks, meh. So he's not going anywhere. Long story short, Johnson is not leaving to go anywhere. It's not going to happen. So now what? Well, they're breaking up that big, giant, what is it, $90-11-trillion bill that they're going to break into bits, into snack sizes, fun sizes. It's fun size spending. It's not going to work. That's not going to work. So they think that, I guess, that they're going to have better luck at that, which nobody believes that. And then Democrats have already said that, nah, the Israel stuff isn't going anywhere. Not going to happen. Some of the other stuff that we talked about the tax increases with Biden. I don't want to talk about that anymore. I know we got to get rolling. We got headlines coming up on the way. We've got more law and order as well. And the border. The House impeachment inquiry. We're going to get all that and that Alec Baldwin story, because that Hannah Gutierrez pled guilty. She was found guilty yesterday. We're going to get all that more.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a study assessing real-world fuel consumption and air pollution from over 600,000 vehicles revealed that plug-in hybrid vehicles emit pollutants at much higher levels than previously claimed by manufacturers 3.5 times more, according to the study. It's the European Environmental Agency, you know, a big old conservative outlet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Apple faces the worst iPhone slump since COVID as China rivals rise. This actually could be bad for the market. Kane thinks everything's a catalyst for a crash, but this could actually be very bad for the market. Space Force readies for its first of the kind military exercise in Earth's orbit. And the FBI, as I said, is investigating that bridge collapse. Stay with us. More in store.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I like to say I eat no for breakfast. I don't hear no until maybe it's spoken the 10th time.
I'm going to use that now.
Oh, I eat no for breakfast.
This is not Happy Gilmore. Okay. Who says that? I eat no for breakfast. You eat pieces of no for breakfast? Golly, that's Kamala Harris. Why is she always awkward? She is perpetually awkward, forever awkward. She's never not awkward. It's weird. Yes, you were going to say
that. I'm just saying, like, wouldn't potential rapists agree with her?
Yeah, rapists agree. Like, I don't hear no for breakfast.
Right. I don't hear no until like the 10th time.
So I have a million things that I need to hit specifically this segment. So let me just give you a quick headline only rundown. Blah, 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 blah. Border, who's paying for this? Warhammer, Charlie Pride, and then this gay politician in Spain that had to resign. So let's start first and foremost. Culture, Warhammer, which was a last refuge. Don't roll your eyes at me. Don't act like this doesn't involve me. Yes, it does. It does involve you. It's the last refuge. It was the last non-PC, non-woke place. No, video games don't cause violence. Stupid politicians do. This was the last place for people to go. Now, I like the lore because I like fantasy stuff. And I played Vermintide and I played Darktide. And I like anything that is even remotely a first-person shooter, FPS. I enjoy them immensely. I'm a casual gamer. I'm not going to sit here and be like, watch my stream. I'm not making fun of them. I'm just, you know, it's like I'm in my 40s, all right? I mean, I'm like old as hell. I'm not going to sit here and do that. So I enjoy it because it's not woke. And I know that it is. I don't care if dudes have a space. I don't care. I am not one of those chicks. I actually like it that it's, you know, the women characters are, they give you a women character in like Vermintide. And in the Warhammer lore, they have the sisters that are, that's like an all-female squad. But anyway, apparently Warhammer, to break it down, you have Space Marines, and then you have what they call the Custodes. And apparently Warhammer, after holding the line for a really long time, now they're being accused of retconning history and introducing female characters as Custodes, and those are supposed to be the ones that are like stronger than Space Marines. And then I'm thinking, is that because they're getting ready to release the Space Marines game and they feel like they got to introduce a character that can be a woman, that can be harder than the Space Marines, which are super hard? I don't know, but I feel like I've been betrayed. And apparently now Warhammer is like blocking people online, except as one of my friends notes, and his name is Mark Kern. And he used to be a former team leader for the original World of Warcraft. He unearthed, it was introduced in Rogue Trader rules in 1987, that Custodes were men from the very start. I never actually knew kind of how they came to be. I knew that they were custom created and they were supposed to be like this ideal being, but they were custom. It wasn't like they were bred. And I never saw anything where they weren't referenced as women, but I also didn't care enough. But it seemed odd to me that they would be referenced as such because you already have the sisters. So I don't know. But anyway, he says no. And he's got receipts and it talks about the Adeptus Custodes is the Emperor's inner guard and they're privileged and permitted to serve the Emperor. And these men never leave Earth. They're men. So let's not retcon it. If chicks want their own thing, then create your own thing. Otherwise, adapt and learn how to respect the universe and respect its base enough to adapt and exist within its base without demanding retcon of history. Because I don't like this. I like that people have their own space, and I like the world the way that it is. And I'm a chick and I enjoy playing. I don't need like special girly characters because I'm not hung all up on my sex like that. And I think that these broads who are need to get a flipping life outside of their genitalia. I'm so damn tired of it. Stop ruining every game. Stop it. Leave it alone. Golly, it's like dudes going and like taking over Barbie or something. I don't know. Anyway, so I touched on that. We're going to have more about that in the days to come because Space Marines is coming out and I want to pre-order it. But now do I want to pre-order it? Because are they doing all this stuff? I'm having an existential crisis. That damn CIA. So, oh gosh. This story. I'm sorry. A friend asked, what flag is for this? Kane, think about the flag that you would create for this. Because, you know, everybody has a flag, right? For their sexual behavior or any kind of deviancy. They have a flag for it, right? Yeah. Of course, this dude's a socialist. You know, Spain's government's, you know, socialist. A gay socialist politician in Spain has resigned his position as counselor for the Department of Youth, Children, and Family.
Oh.
After a video surfaced showing him consuming his own excrement.
No.
Oh, yes.
Wait, yes. He was eating his own poo?
Yes. That's true.
Oh, my gosh.
I had to scroll fast to get past screenshots, too. I was like, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me, X?
I think that's how our listeners are feeling right now.
I had to see it, and so you guys have to hear me talk about it. I've got to get this off my chest. Oh, you boy. Can't expect me to suffer like this alone. Daniel Gomez del Barrio, a member of the Spanish Socialist Party. Of course he's a socialist. He resigned. Now, what flag is for this? What flag would you make? Because you got, think about it for a moment. This is what I care about the most. Because everybody's got a flag, right? If you're two-spirit, what the hell that is, you get a flag. But what if you're a socialist gay government worker who enjoys his own excrement? What flag is for that? You know what I'm envisioning, Kane, is the alphabet flag with all the pinks and browns on it.
Right.
But maybe brown is reinterpreted on this flag, you know, just saying.
I was thinking more like the Gadsden flag, only it's
just with
not
a turd on
a
it.
Snake,
yeah.
Right? It's a turd, and
like, don't snack on me.
Don't snack on me, exactly.
Well,
right.
But he likes to do that, though, so that defeats the purpose.
I know, but I'd want him to own that flag.
I'm just wondering because there's flags for everything. So does he get his own flag for that? So there you go. I shared that with you. I know you're dying. We're getting through it. I had to see it, so you do too. So also now. The Free Beacon says Biden's campaign, now they've got a new defense because all of you people have been picking on mean Joe Biden. Like when he was talking about don't. And if you were like, what? That's it. Don't. OK, well, it's his lifelong stutter. And how dare you people make fun of it? I have no idea what a one word foreign policy has to do with lifelong stutter or any of the other million lies that he's told. All the ways that his oldest son kicked the bucket. You know, my son, Beau, was killed by an Iranian drone. I mean, I'm surprised he didn't say that. So they said that it's his stutter. And I can't even believe this. When his first wife was killed because she ran a stop sign, they lied for years and said it was and said the guy who hit her was drunk and that it was a horrible accident that he killed her, even though he wasn't. And the investigation at the time revealed that it was actually her fault. And it was not this guy's fault. And the family very kindly didn't sue the Bidens. But then they finally had to go public and be like, will you stop lying about our family? That wasn't a stutter. That was Joe Biden being a piece of excrement. Not unlike the delicacy consumed by the gay socialist politician from Spain. CIA. It's never going to end. But they're saying that every criticism... The Free Beacon has noted that every single time anyone's criticizing him for anything, it's Biden stutters. When he plagiarizes something, it's because he stuttered. How dare you? What? Now do you kind of see, too, where Hunter Biden gets his, like, he always justifies his bad behavior because Biden does it. His dad does it. He does the same thing. It, you know. Also, putting this on your table, Associated Press. Headline. Beyonce is bringing her fans of color to country music. Will they be welcomed in? And I'm like, I responded to this last night. I said, man, the AP hates Charlie Pride and Darius Rucker. The comments on this, like people were like, Darius Rucker just be sitting here like, and Clay Francis. Yes, there are a lot of people out there that they're like just completely, completely missing. I mean, what about, I'm like going through throughout history, there have been a lot of black country music artists. And why, I don't know, the guy who wrote this clearly, I don't think knows enough about music to actually write about this. It I don't know. Now, the last thing I want, oh goodness. This had to do with the people funding the protest, shutting down major arteries in big cities. They found that it went to a far left dark money group. That's from a couple different sources here. Actually, a million. There's too many to list. There's also Active Fence Insights, which apparently shows the receipts on the group that's actually funding all of this stuff. Is that surprise anybody?
Nope.
No, nobody's surprised over this. Nobody's surprised. We all knew that it was going to be something like that because the burn, loot, murder stuff was like that too. Is very, very similar in terms of the structure. And there's apparently it's this bail fund that's like. They're also backing this bail fund for the people arrested. So the FISA warrant, we're watching all the FISA fight. Supreme Court has allowed Idaho to enforce a ban on gender affirming care, also for nearly all minors that are claiming that they're transgender. For now, we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that. And then, actually, this will be the last one. You got all this in your prep too. Record number of Chinese illegal immigrants. We had this before, but now the numbers increased. They've revised the numbers and to upward. Record number of Chinese illegal immigrants crossing into the United States. Same number in 6 months as the entirety of 2023. New numbers in from the New York Post.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
John, has President Biden considered maybe beefing up the public Iran posture to be more than just one word?
You're referring to don't.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about...
And they did it anyway.
And let's talk about what we did, Peter. Let's talk about don't and did. Let's talk about Saturday night. He made it clear that he didn't want to see escalation in the region.
And
let me finish. He added military resources to the region right after October 7th. And then when we had an inkling that this kind of thing was coming, he added even more military resources to the region. More destroyers that were capable of shooting down ballistic missiles, a fighter squadron that was able to shoot down drones. And that's what we did. So you can talk about the don't word all you want, but let's talk about what did happen. And what did happen was Iran utterly failed. And if I'm sitting in Tehran right now, I'm betting that
what?
President Biden takes it pretty seriously when he says don't escalate. He's going to act to make sure that you can't. And they didn't. Yes, they fired an unprecedented amount of munitions. But how much of a success did they have, Peter? None. Zero. Very little infrastructure. It was an embarrassing failure for the Supreme
I think there's a lot of debate to have as to whether or not it was an on-purpose embarrassing failure or if it was designed that way so it made them look like they could do the least amount while also trying to sell that they did a lot. Regardless, I don't think that that justifies telling someone how they should act or whether or not they should show restraint because that's just the latest in decade after decade after decade after decade after decade of this nonsense coming from enemies of our ally over in the Middle East. Welcome back to the program. That was John Kirby talking to Peter Doocy just then. And I know that everyone's kind of still waiting to see what happens with Israel's response, but we'll all know when they know it. They had their war cabinet. I think their war cabinet was meeting again today. And so that was sort of the latest with that. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Chapter and Verse on Substack because we got a lot of stuff that comes out there as well. And I'm following some of this Mayorkas impeachment stuff, too. That's developments coming out of the House. And, of course, you got the FISA stuff. And you see, they need to be focusing on that and not arguing back and forth over whether or not someone else is going to be speaker. We have other big things to focus on, like Warhammer, for instance. Seriously, though, what changed? I want to know what changed. I'm done. I'm very done. Oh, gosh. Last thing here. This was said, this was shared by Representative Scott Perry, and he is out of Pennsylvania. Let me pull up my accompanying article on this. He's accusing Johnson, going back to touching on the speaker fight, of failing to include border security into any of the separate bills that he is introducing this week. And that includes the fourth one that was supposed to have all the conservative stuff in it that you know is not going to go anywhere. So you're looking at something like $95.34 billion. And it was supposed to be, this is the supplemental, supposed to be Ukraine, which $48 billion, Israel $14 billion, Red Sea operations $2.4 billion, that's the Indo-Pacific region, that was $2.58 billion, and then a submarine industrial base $3.3 billion, dry dock construction, etc. And he notes that there's not anything in there with regards to the southern border, which I would think if you're talking about any kind of security or any kind of any of this, I mean, if there's anything in our interior, I think it's already here. But that doesn't mean that that's not justification for not securing the border and not doing your basic job, you know, according to the laws of the land. Gosh, what a terrifying thing to admit to, you know, it could already be here because the border's been so porous and so many people have been coming across it. The deluge, month after month. Tell you. All right, we're rolling into today in stupidity, Kane.
Yes, ma'am. It is our president of the United States. Biden is out there speaking about how he already cut the federal deficit. Did you know he cut the deficit?
Yeah, he made it go away, right?
No. He actually
cut the federal deficit. You know, all the stuff they talk about what we've done.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be self-serving a little bit. Every objective alternative points out we've had the most successful economy of any major economy in the world so far. A lot more to do.
Yeah.
But guess what? During the whole time, I've been able to cut the federal deficit at the same exact time.
Why?
And by the way, why do we have so much to do? Why do we have so much to do if you're doing such a great job right now? We got the best economy ever. Why is there so much more to do?
Why do you need more in tax dollars? Why do you? I don't know. We could go. That's for tomorrow. That's for tomorrow. We're going to talk more about the border tomorrow as well. Folks, make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us on YouTube and Facebook. Like and subscribe. Have a great night. I'll be back with you tomorrow.